Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Contrast. That's one of the great literary devices that you studied in high school or whatever that we need to keep in mind, I think, today. You know, contrast works in drama. You have the protagonist, the antagonist, and the contrast between them develops the dramas of the story. And in humor, the same thing happens. It's often the contrast between what should be and what isn't, between the character that should be doing such and such and the other, that makes us laugh at the situations portrayed. That contrasting lifts up to us things that make us think about ourselves and life. That's good in literature. It is also very true of the lessons for this day. Very true for the lessons today. And I want to start with the gospel lesson. I'm going to talk a little bit about all of them. It's striking me, this contrast. You have this gathering at Bethany. Jesus comes back to the place of his greatest triumph. He has raised Lazarus from the dead, you know. How are you going to top that one, you know? He comes back for a meal because these are his friends. So you can imagine that there is probably quite a gathering of people there that want to see this Jesus, probably still fascinated with Lazarus being alive. It's quite the gathering. But notice what happens. It's not Lazarus. It's not one of the rich and wealthy, probably, that gathered around, the leaders of the synagogue nearby, maybe visitors from Jerusalem who heard about Jesus, who do anything. It is Mary, who breaks all social conventions, goes against the norms of her day. There would have been plenty of aghast when she got down on her knees and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. They had to check off a whole list of things that was a no-no for. A woman standing out in public, wiping him with his hair, da-da-da-da. And that contrast is what the core of the story. And it's a striking contrast. In particular, we laid aside Judas Iscariot. Now, a disclaimer, John's gospel doesn't like Judas. So I ignore all those things in parentheses because we really don't know if Judas was a thief. It's not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture. And apparently whoever wrote that gospel didn't like Judas. But I'd like to keep Judas lifted up a little bit better than that, because I think Judas quite often represents us in the gospel lessons. Judas is thinking about propriety. What's the right thing to do? What's proper? And he really doesn't do anything but complain. Where Mary, who's moved by compassion that her brother has been restored by Jesus, doesn't seem to even think, but acts first to show mercy and love to Jesus. And she's the one who appears powerful. Judas and the guys, who should have the power of the story, appear powerless. Lift that up for us. I want you to lift that up. I don't want you to miss that. It may seem like a small detail, but I think it's the reason this story is stuck here, right before we go into Holy Week, you know? John has this version later in his gospel than Luke. We'll get Luke's this summer. It's a slightly different version of the same story. But it's here, I think, because the focus that the gospel writer wants us to get is how people are moved through the compassion of Jesus and mercy to then act in mercy and love and kindness. Judas is right. It would have been a great gift to the poor. But what Jesus is trying to say is, if you're worried about propriety and doing the right thing and being seen, that's not what the gospel is about. The contrast between that and one who is moved to that first and begin to think later when it comes to mercy and love is a good one. Now, what gets people like Peter in trouble with the Gospels is they act first and then they begin to think, my God, what have I done? You know? And they fight into the waves and they begin to think about the things they said and done. Here, Mary allows God's love and mercy to flow through her. She's so moved that she wipes Jesus' feet with her hair. That still would be shocking today. You can just imagine what that was like in first century A.D. Palestine. But that contrast is to remind us that what we are called to do is to be different in the world. We're called to be a contrast to the normal values of this world. The normal values would say, well, you better not go, Mary. You know, you're not going to look stupid. People are going to complain. You might cause some dissension. But instead, Mary is lifted up because it is mercy and love, compassion, that guides her actions. And that's what we're called to do. Because isn't that a reflection of God throughout Scripture? God acts out of mercy and love and compassion, not so much about what's the rule book say about what God has to do. You see, one of the problems we have, we like to put God in a little box, I like to call it. You can call it whatever you want to. I call it the God box. You know, the God who does what I expect him to do, acts the way I want him to, and I pull God out when I want to kind of reinforce my thinking. That's kind of what Judas Iscariot was trying to do. But God refused to be locked into any box that you and I create based on what we think God ought to be doing. God instead chooses to move out of his love and mercy and grace towards us. Even knowing the cost, he's willing to do that. And that's what Holy Week is all about. It's about this great contrast between the way Jesus deals with the problems of the world and the way you and I probably would if we were in charge. Look back at these lessons. In the first lesson, it's a reminder that God decides to take charge when the leaders of Israel have failed the people. God says, I will make, I will do, I will cause. This is not a God that sits on the sidelines. This is not a God who goes, you know, maybe I'll not do that, you know. But he's moved through mercy and compassion, greater than any other value of God. The God we worship, the God of the Old and New Testaments, is motivated primarily by mercy and love and compassion. We pull out the other passages out of context a lot, but if you read the stuff as it's laid out, it's amazing how many times God chases after humans when they have run away from him. How often we deserve far worse, and as I like to say, don't ever say I didn't get what I deserve, because none of us wants what we deserve. You know, if we really are honest about it. But God's mercy and love motivates his action. And that's Paul, too. Paul's saying, hey, you want to talk about your resume? Take a look at mine, Bubba. You know, I'm Israelite from way back. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Pharisee. Bam, 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 bam. And then he turns around and says, and I consider all that stuff I have worked all my life for as rubbish. Hint, he didn't use the word rubbish there. We cleaned it up for the Bible. You know, it's another word that he used there, a little more graphic, to say that none of that matters compared to the love of God. I think that's what this gospel is here right before we get into Holy Week to remind us. That, yes, we sometimes allow propriety. We allow what we worry about other people to think and say to keep us from being moved by mercy and grace. And we sometimes think God's that way. We've got to get that changed. It doesn't matter, really, what we do for the poor and so forth. The question is, are we moved out of the sense of compassion and mercy because God has been compassionate and merciful to us? Do we feel as excited about being here today in the presence of God? Because our theology, that God talk, which is what that word really means, tells us that we encounter the living God this day. When we gather as the people of God, when we celebrate this meal, when we pass the peace, it is God's presence, God's spirit that guides us. Were we as excited as Mary are when we came in the door today? Probably not. But maybe we ought to be. I had a congregation I served, had a little girl came up to communion, and she would sing and dance. And, of course, some people got real nervous about that. And I said, no, that's the way we all ought to come up for communion. We all ought to be excited to be invited to God's table. We all ought to be excited, despite our differences and our faults or whatever, that God has chosen to be present among us. We all ought to be excited that we are a living contrast to the world around us. People are not going to notice what we say. I hate to say it because I talk a lot. I get paid by the word, as you know. I'm a pastor. But really what people notice is, are we different? Is there something different about this Christianity? Is there something different about this God that motivates our lives, that enables us to take risks, that makes us make a difference? And I believe it is when we're so moved by God's mercy that we are merciful to others. Without thinking about it. It's not a process gift. You know, if I do this at 5 o'clock, people will see me. It's not a self-serving kind of a mercy. You know, it's a mercy motivated by love and grace that Mary doesn't even think about it. She gets down on her knees and wipes Jesus. Jesus says, would not we all recognize that we are in the presence of a living God who loves us, who cares for us, who overcomes whatever separates us from him because his mercy and his grace and his desire to hug us that I talked about last week is greater than anything else in this world. If we're so motivated, if we so recognize that, how can we not be compassionate to each other? Yeah, we're going to fail. We're human. But why are we not compassionate to each other? Why is there not a contrast? Why are we so much like the rest of the world? Yeah, it's safer being like the rest of the world, but that's not what we're called to be. We're called to be living contrast, not focusing on ourselves, but living out this grace of God that's been poured into us. You remember at Pentecost, the disciples, frightened behind locked doors, suddenly burst out into the world? They weren't any smarter, any braver, any better after the day of Pentecost than they were before, but they finally let the Spirit of God's love and mercy propel them. As we enter into Holy Week, may we be living contrast, motivated by grace and mercy above all else towards each other, living out the mercy that God has shown us. Amen.